This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello, it wasn't just the UK which underwent wet and windy conditions last week. Rising bond yields and power disruptions, not just here in the UK, but in China too, made for a changeable environment. Add to that US debt ceiling negotiations and German elections, and you've pretty much got the agenda for today's market talk. Asking the questions is me, Frances Watson, and with a full tank of fuel and raring to go, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, hello to you.
Hi, Frances. Have you had a good weekend?
Yes, thank you. Apart from queuing on the garage forecourt, it was great. So shall we start off then, Ben, with the rise in bond yields last week? I mean, what initiated that move exactly?
I think it's been a long time coming, really. I mean, people have been talking about this, seems, for months, but it really did start to take hold, and it has over the last couple of weeks, and it started to accelerate over the last couple of weeks, really. I think the main driver has been the realization that central bankers are really now poised to start to taper, in particular the Federal Reserve, of course, which is the one that really counts. It does feel from the latest, well, the last meeting and also various speeches made by officials, not least Jerome Powell himself, the Fed chair, that they will start tapering in the early November meeting. They'll announce it in the November meeting, unless we get some really bad data. So it's almost we're set in stone now, unless there's something really bad that takes place before then. And that realization has led to higher real yields and therefore nominal yields.
Yeah, and of course, with rising US bond yields comes a rising dollar, and that was quite strong over the week. Of course, the pound was flat on its back, but the dollar was strong.
Tends to go hand in hand. If you have stronger, well, if you have more hawkish monetary policy over the US, higher yields, that tends to attract money back into the US, of course, you know, higher yields. It also can feel that the dollar can sometimes rally on a risk-off environment. We have had a bit of a wobble in other markets because of this rising yield. So you generally see that, yeah, that rise in the dollar, as you say. And it's been strong against everything. We've seen it against emerging markets. I think the weak pound is for some specific UK reasons, which I think we're all aware of.
We certainly are. And of course, with bond jitters, Ben, come equity market wobbles, typically. I mean, what's our asset allocation team view there?
Yeah, we've had a bit of a correction. It's not been, I wouldn't call it a tantrum, a taper tantrum. I would, yeah, call it a wobble, as you said. And in fact, our asset allocation team are looking at this as a potential opportunity to start to buy the dip. I mean, ultimately, we're still medium term quite positive on equity markets. We still have very decent growth, strong growth. We've been downgrading our growth forecast, but they're still pretty strong. Yes, we're looking at tapering in a relatively near term, but the Federal Reserve, Bank of England, European Central Bank, they're still pumping lots of liquidity into the system. So on any historical basis, monetary policy is still very supportive. So on that basis, we're still relatively positive on equities.
OK, so let's move away from markets and just skirt over the German election. And of course, we had the Japanese leadership contest both last week. I mean, any thoughts on either of those?
The big takeaway from the German election, I suppose, was the fact that it's very hard to have a full left-wing coalition. The numbers just don't really add up. So the coalitions that are being discussed now, and it's going to take a number of weeks for it to actually come about, but the possible coalitions are more around the centre. And on that basis, from a pure market perspective, I think that's a relatively positive outcome. So you don't have that market negative outcomes on the table. And as I said, we've said before on this call, right, the other big thing is, you know, who replaces Merkel as the chancellor, and how does that person manage to take the leadership role for Europe, which I think Angela Merkel has had for a number of years now. So we'll see how that plays out. And it's, like I say, it's going to be a number of weeks. And in Japan, it feels as though it's going to be a safe pair of hands. There hasn't been a massive reaction to the new leadership. We'll see in the election as well. We'll see how much of a mandate the party gets. We're not sure exactly when the election is. It's going to take place before the end of November. There's been reports in newspapers that it could be the end of October, but we'll see.
Okay, fine. Sorry to keep on banging on about sitting on the forecourt, but you also had power disruptions. There were power disruptions in China. What prompted that?
There's been a lot of different things blamed for these power disruptions. Supply for coal, potentially, or too expensive the input for coal for some power. Also, China's focus on reducing the climate impact, you know, some of these climate targets, therefore pushing down in terms of what power stations can do. So lots of different things, but it does feel as though it's a little bit of a mess in certain provinces. Certain factories are having to reduce the number of days that they're working. So from a pure economic output point of view, this is negative. And, you know, we've been talking about reducing our China GDP growth forecast, and this is another reason to worry about GDP growth. It'll still be fine, but you know, it's another knock to it. And then you've got the supply disruptions. I mean, if you've got the power reduction, then presumably factories can't work. What about all these things the Western consumer is going to be buying at Christmas and the holiday season? That's a potential question mark as well, and that's just going to add to some of these supply issues that we know already weighing on some of the sentiment in the Western economies.
A transition to renewables doesn't seem to be as smooth as it could be, that's for sure. Okay, let's turn away from China to the US. And of course, we have these regular US debt ceiling negotiations, don't we? But I mean, obviously this time around, given the pandemic, the debt is oh so much greater. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's a really strange concept, isn't it? You have to keep on raising the debt ceiling when, you know, debt is a number that it does keep going up in time, and it's a sort of percentage of GDP. It should be going up, I guess, with inflation, with prices. So you know, it's always going to be going up, and they get themselves in a right mess having to negotiate to increase that debt ceiling. And at the same time, Congress is trying to get through the various infrastructure packages that President Biden wants to put through. And of course, this is now so political. The Republicans, the Democrats are trying to wrap these negotiations together. What we do know that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has said that the debt ceiling is breached at some point in the second half of October. So we're not that far away, and they need to get their act in, you know, they need to get into gear and sort out this debt ceiling. Otherwise, the government will have to start shutting down. I think everyone who looks at this from a market perspective believes that they will eventually sort it out, and we're not going to have any sort of massive shutdown of the US government and not paying coupons, treasury coupons, all that. So we don't think there's going to be a default. That would just be unthinkable. But in the meantime, there's an awful lot of political hot air to try and sort this out, isn't there?
And okay, so let's go from that to US payroll numbers. I mean, presumably these numbers are going to be a little bit more closely watched than usual, given the next Fed meeting on the 3rd of November.
I think it was probably more important a few weeks ago when it felt like the Federal Reserve was probably hoping for a strong number in order to taper. But like I said before, it's almost like the evidence is reversed now. As long as it's not a horrendous number, they probably will just carry on with the plan to announce the tapering in the November meeting. So we'll see what the number is. It's funny that a month ago, the last payroll report was actually very weak. It was only 250,000, something like that, jobs. But actually, when you looked at the details, the wage inflation released as part of that report was actually quite strong. So sometimes you see the headline number and you have one reaction, but then you've got to dig into the report and it's something quite different. I do think that the Federal Reserve is pretty much, they want to start tapering in November. So unless it's really bad, that's, I think, still going to be the conclusion after Friday's payroll report.
Okay, well, let's go then finally, Ben, from payroll numbers to your number of the week. What is it and why have you chosen it?
It's 75, and 75 is the number, is the basis point, so 0.75% that the Czech Central Bank hiked interest rates last week, which I thought was interesting. This is, of course, it's, you know, the Czech central bank. It's linked to the Eurozone, very close, lots of manufacturing links. But they've had similar sort of inflation pressures that we've seen across a lot of the world. And their central bank has taken the view that, look, we need to start hiking interest rates to stop these inflation expectations getting ingrained into the consumer, into businesses. And 0.75% is quite a hefty hike, I thought.
So that's
for the week, yeah.
All eyes then on the BOE, maybe. Watch this space. Yeah. Ben, thanks so much as ever for your time today, and look forward to catching up next week.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com.